Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we seek to understand Jesus as a Messiah for the entire world. And so let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit shed light on your word to us this day. Help us to act on it then, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verse 26 to 39, and I'm reading from the NIV. It begins, "They," that is Jesus and his disciples, "sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me.' For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Legion,' he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return home and tell how much God has done for you.' So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. What better way to introduce the kingdom of God and God's Messiah to the Gentile world than to set this Gentile man free from his condition on his home ground? In one sense, we can understand that God is not restricted by any territorial borders, but we know that the disciples and the infant church, not yet formed, had not grasped the implication that Jesus was not only demonstrating his authority without restriction throughout the area, but that the message of the good news was a message for all. And if it was a message for all, then the Messiah was for all as well. To begin with, I want to comment on a few things in this account. Firstly, the reference to the demon-possessed man living in tombs does not mean he lived in holes in the ground. Rather, he lived in caves, whether natural or man-made, that were used as tombs. Secondly, Matthew's version of this account mentions two men in this condition. Mark and Luke mention only one. One commentator says that Matthew probably added a second man, perhaps because the story is recorded as a witness to Jesus' power, and in Jewish law, since Matthew is writing to the Jewish audience, two witnesses were needed. Thirdly, the place called the abyss in verse 31 was the name given for the netherworld, the abode of the dead, of imprisoned spirits, and eventually Satan's prison. And finally, that pigs were being reared in the area indicates to us that the incident definitely took place in Gentile territory. With that said, here are a few things we can observe from this remarkable passage. First, if God draws us, nothing can keep us from his grace. Luke says in verse 28 that when he saw Jesus, He cried out and fell at his feet. Matthew and Mark say something similar. These are not cries of recognition between one man and another. For Jesus knew he was dealing with someone possessed by demons, even as the man charged in his crazed state towards him as he stepped out of the boat, and had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. The demons knew who Jesus was, and immediately they bowed in submission to the Son of the Most High God, the Son of El Elyon, who is Melchizedek's God, the God of Israel in the Old Testament, and a typical Gentile name for the God of Israel at that time. In their conversation with Jesus here, where the demon cries out, "Don't torture me," it recognized that Jesus had control over him even though men did not. Perhaps this is also a reference to final judgment, which was not yet upon them. But their immediate situation and ultimate future is not Jesus' concern. He had come to set the captive free, and whom the Son sets free will be free indeed, as we witness in the story. And so we must conclude that, despite being outcast in society, lost in mind and whatever other depravity, unclean, living among the dead, neither this man nor any other individual is beyond the grace of God. And if God calls and draws us, nothing can stand in the way of his ability to save to the uttermost. Nothing can separate us from his love. Secondly, we need to think about how our modern world struggles with unscientific events. So for some, this event has been described as not only the most stupendous, but also the most scandalous, because it presents the simple reader with, and I'm quoting now, preposterous material, and at the same time invites the scorn of the skeptic. To the naive, it seems a glorious demonstration of power over Satan's legions. To the skeptical, it comes pretty close to turning Jesus into a miracle monger, deceiving his unsuspecting contemporaries. End of quote. Now, from a medical point of view, the man's illness has been identified as manic depressive psychosis. Whether we see it as demonic in origin or simply a medical condition, the end result in this gospel account is still beyond ordinary medical and scientific explanation, as the man is completely cured of his condition. Also scientifically odd and hard to receive by the modern thinking person is the notion that the demons are driven out and allowed to enter a herd of pigs that probably belonged to the local townsfolk. And then the herd, being possessed by the demons, promptly charges over the edge of the cliff into the lake and they all drown, a total of 2,000, according to the Gospel of Mark. For the modern mind to think that only gullible people will believe this and similar miracle stories is to be naive in a different way. For, throughout the centuries up to the present, scholars in theology, medicine, science, mathematics, philosophy, and many other disciplines simply read the Bible and take it on face value in faith, whilst applying the basic principles of good interpretation. Instead of doubting, we have here an account that will give us the capacity to trust in God's ability to meet with us in our need as we believe the scriptures. At the same time, we will always have skeptics in our circles who need our prayers, so that one day they too may also believe. The third point I'd like to make is that people don't always embrace Jesus. Now, in our story, one would think that an amazing event of this nature would bring about a revival of sorts, because in a very significant way, Jesus demonstrated the presence of the kingdom of God in all its might and glory. The herdsmen run off to the nearby town and surrounds to tell the community of what they had witnessed. And it is obvious that the people in the area would want to come and investigate what had happened. When they finally arrive at where Jesus was, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And one would imagine that they would want to know why and how and who, perhaps even rejoice at the man's healing. But instead, they were afraid. and asked Jesus to leave. Why they were afraid, we are not told. We can only speculate. It is possible that they were afraid of what they did not know in the person of Jesus, or perhaps they were afraid of further conflict with demons should he remain in the area. Possibly in their minds, maybe the financial loss of the pigs implied other possible losses which might be part and parcel of letting Jesus minister in their region. While some critics of the Bible fault Jesus for destroying other men's property, when instead he could have sent the demons elsewhere, they miss the point of this profound event. When the herd of swine rushed down the escarpment into the water, there was no question in the minds of those present that the demons had left the man and that Jesus had done it. Our final point that I want to make is this, and it brings us to our conclusion as well. Jesus wants us to minister where we find ourselves. Just as Jesus is about to get into the boat and leave, the man he healed wants to go with him. He begs Jesus to allow him to go with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Whether purposefully or not, here we are also given a clear statement about the deity of Jesus Christ. He is God the Son. But our story also is one where we have a preview of God's intentions, that salvation was also for the Gentiles, as this man shared with all those who would hear the good news about Jesus of Nazareth, sowing seeds of the kingdom of God. At some level, I think the church slips into the mode of seeing life in the church as their only activity, but we need to keep looking for those opportunities to tell others how much God, through Jesus Christ, has done for us. What we have to share may be the only exposure they have to this Jesus. It may be the first seed sown in their lives. It may be one among many. It may also be the final seed that results in their salvation. We cannot know. And while Jesus is Messiah for the entire world, the world has only one way to come to him. For there is no other holy book, no other personality, no other mediator between humanity and God, only Jesus, who is also only known through a deep abiding trust in the effectiveness of his saving death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and the fact that he will one day return to redeem all of creation, which includes those who are his. And so may God help us as we live out his word in this way. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you that no one is beyond your grace. Help us to care for those who struggle without hope, who are alone, who feel so disconnected from the world, so that we will encourage them, pray for them, and where the doors open, tell them how much God has done for us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.